So this is an exciting time at CCB, isn't it? Finally, after all these months, all this waiting, all of the hard work of the Pastoral Search Committee, and I hope you all have generously thanked your search committee, because that is a very challenging and time-consuming job. After all of the angst and uncertainty of the past months, you're now on the verge of welcoming Reverend Chris Shade as your new pastor. And his first Sunday is next week. He'll be here in the office on Tuesday, I understand. I think it's fair to assume that all of you are really eager for Pastor Chris's ministry here to succeed, for it to be a harmonious time in which you thrive as a congregation and minister to your community in new and exciting ways. Am I right? Am I right in that? Yeah. And I also imagine that many, if not most of you, are wondering, you know, how can I help that happen? What can I do to help Chris's time at CCB be a fruitful ministry and a congenial, loving time as pastor and people? And of course, the first thing is to welcome him and his family warmly. That's just obvious. And I really have no doubt that you're going to do that, because I base that on my own experience and your welcome of me as a stranger who, you know, you knew I was only going to be here for a really short time. I mean, you could have just held your breath, right, for 6 months. But your welcome of me was extraordinary. You all were thoughtful and loving and warm and kind, and so I just don't have any doubt that you know how to embrace Chris and his family graciously. But what comes after that? What comes after you've welcomed them and made Chris feel at home? What can a congregation offer a pastor that makes a real difference, that makes a meaningful contribution toward pastoral success? I would suggest that that's partnership. Partnership. And if you only remember one word from this sermon, I hope that it would be partnership. The kind of partnership that the Apostle Paul found among the church in Philippi, right at the very beginning of his letter to the Philippians, he said, I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers. I'm thankful for all of you every time I pray, and it's always a prayer full of joy. Why? Why was Paul so thankful for the Philippians? Why were his prayers for them so joyful? He goes on and says it in John, because you have been my partners in the ministry of the gospel. I promise you, sisters and brothers, that pastors today in that respect are like Paul. What they most long for, what makes them most grateful, is a congregation that sees the work of the church as a partnership in which everyone has a role in working toward a shared goal. Everybody has a part to play in working together toward a shared goal. Now, in trying to flesh that out a little more, to say a little more about what that looks like, what that means, I found some helpful metaphors in an article that I read recently. It's an article written by Sarah Drummond, who is the dean of my alma mater, Andover Newton at Yale. And in it, she offered four metaphors for things that make pastoral ministry especially difficult right now. Four metaphors. And the metaphors are the microscope, the spotlight, the learning curve, and the stakes. And I'm going to flesh all of those out for you for a minute. A church that works in partnership with its pastor avoids the microscope and the spotlight. Now, first the microscope. Every leader must be held accountable. I mean, that's obvious, that's true. But there's a tendency in many churches today, because of the anxious times we're in, to go way overboard on accountability, to the extent to which the pastor is put under a microscope and every detail of their work is monitored and every move and statement are examined and picked apart. And that doesn't work. It undermines a pastor's confidence and it makes them afraid to try new things, afraid to take risks. And risks and new things are exactly what the church needs right now. So the microscope is problematic. But also the spotlight has a kind of similar effect, even though it's sort of the opposite. That, you know, some churches direct all their attention to the pastor. It's like, look, there's our wonderful pastor. And they focus all their attention and all their hopes, you know, all the energy is directed toward the pastor. That is far too heavy a burden to bear. And a church's focus, in a healthy situation, a church's focus is going to be on more than just the pastor. It should be on your story as a congregation and your mission and your community life. CCB has so many strengths that the spotlight should never just be on the pastor. So if you want to be partners in the gospel with your new pastor, avoid both the microscope and the spotlight. And then a church that works in partnership with its pastor will be realistic about the learning curve and the stakes. The learning curve for a new pastor arriving at a church is high and long. Now I want you to think about a few things for a minute. First of all, remember, Chris has never even lived in the Midwest before. The culture here is different in subtle ways than it is on either the East or the West Coast. And church, I have discovered by moving from one part of the country to another, church culture has differences. I mean, as much as we look alike, American Baptists across the country, church culture is different in different parts of the country. So Chris is going to have a learning curve there. And every congregation is unique. Your history, your expectations, your way of making decisions is going to be new. Chris will need time to learn about those things. Also, he's never been a solo pastor before. There's a learning curve there. So I encourage you, give your new pastor time to get to know you, time to learn the things he needs to learn. There are going to be missteps and misunderstandings. I guarantee it. There will be some missteps and misunderstandings. A congregation that's in partnership with their new pastor will expect that. Be patient and forgiving. Be realistic about the learning curve. And secondly, to work as effective partners in the gospel, be realistic about the stakes. Now, that may not be quite as obvious as some of these other things, but what I mean is this. Don't assume that the stakes are higher than they are. This church, when you look around, it doesn't look like it did in the fall of 2019. This pandemic has been brutal for congregational life. Think about the word congregational. It's congregating together. And that's been kind of hard in the pandemic, right? But even though this church doesn't look like it did before the pandemic, it is not in peril. Trust me on this. CCB's survival is not on the line. Not this year, not next year, and not for the foreseeable future. This is a small, healthy, vital congregation. Now, of course, you need to move forward. You need to change. You need to grow. But your decisions don't need to be fraught with anxiety. You need to be able, you need to feel confident enough together to take risks. And there's room for risk. There's room to make mistakes. What you can't afford is to be paralyzed by fear. So don't be paralyzed by fear. Trust that it's going to be okay. And that you all together in partnership can do some new things, and they don't all have to work. Some of the things might not work. That's okay. You can afford to have some new efforts fail. Paul thanked God for the Philippians because they were partners with him in the ministry of the gospel. And I pray that you too will be partners in the gospel with Pastor Chris. But Paul goes on to make another really crucial point for any church to remember, especially at the start of a new chapter in its history. Paul, in verse 6, says, "I'm sure about this. The one who started a good work in you will stay with you to complete the job by the day of Christ Jesus." Who started the good work among the Philippians and among you? God. God did. And who is with you in that work, in you, until the work is done? God. God and God alone. As you move into the future, you are in God's hands. And this is what the psalmist celebrated in our other text today, that God's steadfast love overarches us always like the skies, that God's faithfulness reaches as high as the clouds, that the goodness and trustworthiness of God are as strong as the mountains. You are sheltered always under the wings of God's mighty love. And that's the point of the picture on the front of your bulletin this morning. When you gather as God's community, you feast on the bread of God's love and you drink from the waters of God's joy. The psalm says, "For you, with you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." The future of this church, this ministry, is not really in your hands, and it's most definitely not just in Pastor Chris's hands. He is not your Savior. Your Savior, sisters and brothers, is Jesus Christ and none other. And the future of this church is in God's hands. It's in God's hands. I want to leave you with just one more thought. And it's a little bit of a story. That in 1977, I visited the Iona community in Scotland for the first time. That's a Christian community that is based on a tiny island, the Isle of Ireland, which is off the west coast. A remote place, folks. And I was there in the cold and dark of November while I was a seminary student at New College in Edinburgh. and worshiping in their sanctuary. The base of this community is in an ancient abbey on this little island, although the community members live all over Scotland and all over the world. I was worshiping with that community, and I saw something that really surprised me. In fact, it shocked me, and I've never forgotten it. At the bottom of all of their printed materials, whether it was a songbook or a prayer book or a list of ministries around Scotland or whatever, at the bottom was this sentence: "This ministry will last as long as God has need of it." This ministry will last as long as God has need of it. I had never seen another group of Christians who were willing to hold institutional survival that lightly and to be that honest about it. This ministry will last as long as God has need of it. And that is the truth. Sisters and brothers, you are in God's hands. This church will last just as long as God needs you. You're in God's hands. So be partners in the ministry of the gospel and together live in such a way that God can use you. And that's my last word for you. Live so that God can use you. And that's what will ensure your vital future.